Good morning, and welcome to Simply Space. It's Monday, April 29th. On today's show, Japan and the U.S. strengthen their moon partnership, while SpaceX sends a batch of Galileo navigation satellites into space. Plus, Japan's mission makes progress in orbital cleanup. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Space. We start off with some exciting news from Japan. The country has announced an ambitious plan to send its first astronaut to the moon by 2028 in partnership with the United States. This move is seen by analysts as an effort to prevent China from scoring a major propaganda victory by putting a man on the moon first. For more on this, we're joined now by our space correspondent. So what is driving Japan's lunar ambitions here?
This is really about national prestige and staying ahead of regional rivals like China in the new space race. Japan has been a strong partner with the U.S. in space exploration for decades, but now they want to take a leading role and make history by landing a Japanese astronaut on the moon. There's a sense that if China beats them to it, it would be a huge propaganda coup that would diminish Japan's standing as a space power.
But China has also been making significant progress in its own lunar exploration program. How likely is it that they could get to the moon first?
China's space program has advanced rapidly in recent years, with successful missions to orbit the moon, land rovers on its surface, and even bring back lunar samples. Just this week, they launched 3 astronauts to their new space station to prepare for future moon missions. However, landing humans on the moon is still an extremely complex and risky endeavor. Analysts say that while China may be closing the gap, it's unlikely they will be ready to attempt a manned lunar landing anytime soon.
So what are the risks and challenges involved in sending astronauts to the moon? It's been over 50 years since the U.S. last did it during the Apollo missions.
Landing on the moon is often called the greatest technological challenge ever attempted by humanity. Hundreds of thousands of things have to go exactly right, from the launch to the landing to the return trip. Even a small failure or mistake could be catastrophic and cost astronauts their lives. That's why it's been so long since the last moon landing. The risks are immense. For China or any other country attempting this, a failure, especially one involving loss of crew, would be a massive setback and propaganda disaster.
It seems this new space race to return to the moon is as much about international competition as it is about scientific exploration. Do you think Japan's plans will put more pressure on China to accelerate their lunar ambitions?
Absolutely. This is a direct challenge to China's goal of establishing itself as the world's preeminent space power. I expect Beijing will see Japan's announcement as a figurative throwing down of the gauntlet. The question is whether this competition will spur China to take greater risks to try to beat Japan to the moon, or whether they will take a more cautious approach. Either way, it's clear that the race to be the next country to land humans on the lunar surface is now on, with all the prestige and peril that entails.
Fascinating insights on the revitalized space race. Thanks to our correspondent for that analysis. Speaking of space missions, SpaceX has launched a batch of Galileo navigation satellites into space for the European Space Agency. The Falcon 9 rocket carrying the satellites lifted off from a spaceport in Florida early this morning. For more on this mission and what it means, we're joined now by our space correspondent. So tell us, why is SpaceX launching these European satellites?
Well, David, this launch is significant because it marks a shift in how the European Space Agency is getting its Galileo navigation satellites into orbit. In the past, they relied on Russian Soyuz rockets or their own Ariane 5 rockets. However, the Ariane 5 was recently retired without a successor ready, and Europe has largely cut ties with Russia's space program following the invasion of Ukraine last year. So ESA turned to SpaceX to fill the gap and ensure the continued deployment of the Galileo constellation.
And this Galileo system, it's essentially Europe's version of GPS, correct? How many of these satellites are already in space?
That's right. Galileo is Europe's own global navigation satellite system, providing positioning and timing services. Prior to this launch, there were already 28 Galileo satellites in orbit, they operate in what's called a medium Earth orbit at an altitude of about 23,000 kilometers. The full constellation is planned to include around 30 satellites, so this SpaceX launch helps push it closer to completion.
Do we know how many more launches SpaceX is contracted to perform for the Galileo program?
Yes, the European Space Agency signed an agreement with SpaceX late last year to launch up to 4 Galileo satellites over 2 missions in 2024. So this is just the beginning of SpaceX's involvement in deploying the Galileo constellation. It's a significant win for the American company as it expands its customer base beyond NASA and private satellite operators. At the same time, it gives Europe a reliable way to get its navigation satellites into space while it develops a new rocket to replace the Ariane 5.
And this launch today, it was successful? The satellites are now on their way to their intended orbit?
Indeed, the launch appears to have gone smoothly. The Falcon 9 rocket lifted off on schedule, and the batch of Galileo satellites were deployed as planned. This was SpaceX's 42nd mission so far in 2023, and the 31st Falcon 9 to launch from Florida this year, so they're maintaining a very busy pace. The company just launched a batch of its own Starlink internet satellites a few days ago as well, so it's full steam ahead for SpaceX as it juggles an increasingly diverse manifest of payloads and customers.
Fascinating developments in the world of satellite launches and international spaceflight partnerships. Thanks for breaking it down for us. Shifting gears now, the Humane Society of Parkersburg in West Virginia recently reached capacity, but is still struggling with intake of animals. The shelter is doing its best to avoid euthanasia as a last resort. Here with more details is our Simply Space correspondent. What is the current situation at the Humane Society of Parkersburg?
The Humane Society of Parkersburg has been consistently housing around 70 animals since the beginning of 2022, which is significantly higher than their ideal capacity of 47 to 50 dogs at a time. The higher capacity leaves little room to take in additional stray or injured dogs that may need a longer recovery time before being ready for adoption. When the shelter reaches capacity, they have to consider difficult options like euthanasia if they cannot find alternative solutions.
What steps is the Humane Society taking to address the overcrowding and avoid euthanasia?
The shelter is actively working to find ways to manage the high intake numbers and avoid euthanasia. They are relying on fostering programs and holding adoption events to try to find homes for the animals. Recently, an adoption event on April 20th did not have as much success as hoped, but help from fosters has been able to temper the overcrowding to some degree. The shelter staff hates the thought of having to euthanize any animals, so they exhaust all other options first.
How have adoption rates been at the Humane Society, even with the high intake numbers?
Interestingly, even though intake numbers have been higher than the output each year, adoption rates have also been increasing at the Humane Society of Parkersburg. Last year was a record year for adoptions, and so far 4 months into this year, they have already adopted over 500 animals into homes. The director, Gary McIntyre, says this has been a great effort, although still not enough to keep up with the intake rates.
What is the Humane Society's message to the community during this challenging time?
Director Gary McIntyre expressed gratitude for the volunteers and community members who have stepped up to help the Humane Society manage during this time of high capacity. He emphasized that it takes a community effort, with everyone doing their part to help, whether by fostering, adopting, sponsoring animals, or donating food and supplies. The shelter has information on their website about becoming a foster or volunteer for anyone who wants to assist.
It's encouraging to hear how the community is coming together to support the Humane Society of Parkersburg as they navigate these capacity challenges. Hopefully, more fosters and adoptions can help relieve the burden on the shelter. On another note, space junk is a growing problem as more satellites and rockets are launched into orbit. But a Japanese spacecraft is making progress in cleaning up this orbital debris. The Address-J spacecraft recently completed a mission to get close to a rocket body that's been floating in space since 2009. Here with more details is our Simply Space correspondent. So tell us, what exactly did this space garbage truck accomplish?
This was an important demonstration mission for the Address J spacecraft, which was developed by the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency, or JAXA. Its goal is to help remove large pieces of space junk from orbit. In this case, it rendezvoused with the upper stage of a Japanese rocket that was launched back in 2009. The spacecraft got within just a few meters of the rocket body, which is an impressive feat of precision maneuvering in space.
And why is it so important to remove this kind of orbital debris?
Well, experts estimate there are over 100 million pieces of space junk currently in orbit. Everything from tiny flecks of paint to large defunct satellites and spent rocket stages. And all of that junk is hurtling around the Earth at incredibly high speeds, posing a serious collision risk to operational satellites and even the International Space Station. A collision with even a small piece of debris could cause catastrophic damage. So there's a real need to start actively cleaning up some of this orbital garbage.
So how does a spacecraft like Address J actually go about capturing and removing a large piece of space junk?
The current mission was just focused on getting close to inspect the rocket body. But the eventual plan is for Address J to use a robotic arm to grab onto a piece of debris, then fire an engine to slow it down so that it falls out of orbit and burns up in the atmosphere. Of course, that's easier said than done. It requires very delicate and precise operations to safely capture a large, uncontrolled object that's tumbling through space. But this demonstration puts JAXA one step closer to being able to carry out debris removal missions.
And what are the next steps for the Address J mission?
JAXA says it will spend the next few months carefully analyzing the data from this initial rendezvous before planning the next phase of the mission. Ultimately, the goal is for Address J to carry out a series of demonstrations, including actually capturing a piece of debris and deorbiting it. If successful, it could pave the way for future debris removal spacecraft. Because with the amount of junk already in orbit, and with more and more satellites being launched all the time, developing this kind of cleanup capability will be critical to keeping space safe and accessible in the years to come.
Thanks for that fascinating look at the efforts to address the space junk problem. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Space. We'll see you back here tomorrow.